Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. We'll continue our Bible survey. Last time we were together, 2 weeks ago, we looked at Call of Abraham. We'd known all along that God works through a sovereignly chosen line. This is no different. He's working through his line. We looked at human history in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And we reminded you that the first 11 chapters of Genesis covers 2,080 years, approximately. So we have, in 11 chapters, the first 11 chapters of our Bible, over 2,000 years. And the last of the rest of the book of Genesis, 39 more chapters, only about 300 years. God covers in the first 11 chapters human history, the creation of the universe, creation of man, the fall of man, the promised Redeemer, the sinful decline of man, the flood, Noah and his family remain through that flood, and then right away again, that sinful decline and their efforts at the Tower of Babel. And we look through that human history. If you have one of those charts, you'll be really amazed to look at this genealogical chart, really amazed to look at how that we pointed out how Adam lived within a couple generations of Noah, and that now we could look at Noah on that chart, and he lived almost to the time of Abraham. And there's very few generations that it would take to get the story of creation all the way up to Abraham. Just a couple of people in the interim to relay the story of creation and how that God worked. We looked at the call of Abraham and how it would appear as though he wasn't immediately obedient to that call. He's 50 years old, about, and he was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees. It was an idolatrous place, according to the Bible. And God called him out and told him to leave his family behind. Well, he didn't do that completely. Had his dad with him till his dad passed away when he was 75 years old in Haran, when Abram was 75 years old in Haran. And so he's been 25 years or so since the original call. And then he leaves Haran and he gets into the Canaan land, the promised land, and he's been there 10 years. And that's where we're going to pick up the story tonight. And he still doesn't have any seed. God had promised him that he'd be a great nation, but I don't have any children. How am I going to be a great nation? And so this thing is very perplexing to him. Remember the promises to Abraham. The first one in Genesis 12:2, I'll make of thee a great nation. Verses 2 and 3, all will be blessed through you. Chapter 13 and verse 15, Canaan will be given to you. Verse 16, offspring will be many. Genesis 15 and verse 5, comparing it to Galatians 3 we looked at 2 weeks ago, the spiritual seed. Remember how our Bibles distinguishes between the physical lineage of Abram and those that are spiritual believers, those that are of faith. Our Bible distinguishes between the two. And remember that what would appear to be kind of a confusing phrase that Paul uses, they're not all of Israel that are Israel. Well, just because they came down through that physical lineage doesn't mean that God in his grace has touched their heart. But those that are of the spiritual seed, the spiritual descendants, these are the children of God. These are the children of Abraham in a very special way. And ultimately and most profoundly, the seed promised through Abraham was going to be Christ. We read that in Galatians 3:16. That seed is Christ. Well, that leads us to tonight in the thoughts of our Bible survey tonight. God has always worked down through the ages, and we read it and emphasized it to you that in Adam's case, out of all of his children, God chose to use Seth to be that line. And in Noah's case, out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, God chose to use Shem to be that line. And he's going to continue to do that down through time. And God works sovereignly at keeping that line pure. God works at keeping that line well defined. And that's interesting to note when we think of what we have to look at tonight. We're in now Genesis chapter 16. We're very, very likely about 10 years from Abraham leaving Haran, coming into Canaan. Genesis 16, 1 through 3. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian. Keep that in mind, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. So Abram had been another 10 years in Canaan, no children. At this point, he's been about 35 years since the promise of God. I was talking to Jen about this last night. And I tend to do it. We tend to give Abram a real slap in the face for his lack of faith. We give him a break. He's been 35 years waiting on a child from God. And they're not getting any younger. And she comes up with this plan. And culturally, it was very acceptable. It wasn't acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. Culturally, it was. Didn't think anything of it. But something that I think is noteworthy about this is that twice in those three verses that it mentions Hagar, it says the Egyptian. And the key to that is she, being an Egyptian, is not part of the line. And so we then have... Now, I know there are some occasions where God chooses, very sovereignly chooses, to put a Gentile in that line. I know that. But primarily, that is avoided at all costs. And here, Hagar is now inserted into that line towards Christ, or so it would seem. And God said, no. This is not going to fly. This is not what I had in mind. And in chapter 16, we read the first three verses. Now verses 4 through 6. Abram is the man in the scope here. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Well, as any common sense would reveal to our minds, this little scene caused a lot of trouble in the house. And not to the least of which that it wasn't right in the eyes of God either. And so there was strife there right from the very start. Verse 16 tells us that the child born was Ishmael, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. Now that's 86 years. Very, very clearly about 36 years since the original promise. Now, next chapter, immediately after this verse, chapter 17, God reveals himself to Abram as El Shaddai. And I preached on this, and we know its significance. The Almighty God there in verse 1 is El Shaddai. And it signifies the all-sufficient God. One needing no other. And by the way, Abraham and Sarah, I don't need your help either. Now, I'm going to use you, and you're going to come together in regular husband and wife relations. But that's it. I don't need your scheming and planning and helping. I'll take care of the rest. I'm the giver of life. Well, they're both thinking, Abraham's 86, she's 76. They can't have children anymore. Well, God tells them, I'm going to give you children. Verses 15. Well, let's read the first 8 verses here. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, I said that wrong just a second ago, and I'll correct it by the Bible there. I don't remember what I said, but I think I said 86 and 76. But here the Bible tells us now that Abram was 99. In other words, 13 years has passed since Ishmael was born. So Abram was 99 years old, Ishmael's 13. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now that verse 8 right there, that land of Canaan, that everlasting possession, is still a source of trouble today. That little chunk of land that Israel likes to call home is still a thorn in the flesh to those, get this, those that are around them, and we'll look at that in a little bit, those that are around them are the descendants of Ishmael. The descendants of Ishmael, the very name Ishmael meant, I wrote it down here, the Ishmael, the father of the Arabian, yeah, there it is, father of the Arabian people. That land around there, primarily Islamic in their faith, of course the Islamic people owe their lineage to Ishmael. They believe that Ishmael is that blessed seed. Some of you met the exchange student that we had in our home in Florida, and Janara was from Kyrgyzstan, and she was Muslim. And she got to Grace Baptist Church down there, and I'm going through the book of Genesis, and I'm emphasizing Isaac. And she said, "I never heard it that way. My daddy always tells me, Ishmael, Ishmael, Ishmael. Isaac was the wrong one. Ishmael had the blessing. Ishmael was the firstborn. Ishmael." And down through there, then that lineage down through Muhammad. And the Islamic people, by and large, claim their roots down to Ishmael. And that trouble that started in that home is still brewing today in the Middle East. And that land around that little chunk of dirt called Israel. God said, "Abram, I'm going to do all this. I'm not calling you because you're qualified. I'm going to qualify you for the calling I put upon you. I'm not calling you because you're head and shoulders above the rest. I'm not calling you because you're of the right age to have children. I am qualifying you because I called you. And I will make you able to do everything that I require of you." This passage gives us, "I will, I will, I will, I will." No, if you do this, then I will. But over and over, repeatedly, "I will." So then in Genesis chapter 17, in verse 15, God reveals this then to Sarah. And God said to Abram, as far as Sarah, he's talking to Abraham about Sarah, excuse me. God said unto Abram, "As far as Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." This is the plainest that the Lord has ever stated it to Abram. "I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abram said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Abram still didn't get what God was doing. Abram had a natural love for his son Ishmael. But nonetheless, that was not God's plan. In chapter 18, then we find God telling Sarah, picking up the story in verse 9. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Genesis chapter 21 picks up the story of the birth of Isaac. Now, we'll come back and we'll hit chapter 19 and Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the things that happened there. But for continuity of tonight, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8, the birth of Isaac. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, we have here the birth of Isaac, the plan of God now coming to pass, something close to 50 years after God originally told Abraham to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Time has strengthened Abraham's faith. God revealing himself as El Shaddai has strengthened Abraham's faith. But 50 years, or thereabouts, 45 to 50 years have passed. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I can get impatient about the second or third day that I've prayed about something and want to know why God hasn't answered me yet. He waited 50 years, 45, 50 years. Well, the next sentence in verse 9 there. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Ishmael was over there mocking. Best I can figure out, 14 years old. He was 86 when Ishmael was born. He's 100 now, 14 years old. Ishmael's over there mocking, making fun of Isaac. You don't see them doing a whole lot together in the Word of God. You don't see Ishmael and Isaac buddying around. One time I remember, I saw them together, doing something together in a congenial form. They were burying their dad when Abraham died. But Ishmael was over here mocking Isaac. Now it's interesting to note that we'll go on and read. I was looking for a particular verse in verse 10 to 14. Oh, I'm sorry about that. That Ishmael was very, very difficult and was going to be, it was prophesied that he was going to be very, very difficult. There, I missed it. Genesis 16:12. I found it on my notes. Genesis 16:12. After that, Hagar conceived, the Lord visited the scene and told him what was going to happen here. And in verse 12, Genesis chapter 16, verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. He's going to be a wild man. He's going to be, his hand's going to be against every man. Every man's going to be against him. There's going to be constant friction with this Ishmael. And from that time down to this day, friction, wars. A lot of what's going on in that region with the Palestinians and the Israelis today stem right back to this. And the descendants of Ishmael hating the descendants of Isaac. And it's a religious war. The one true and living God that would be represented down through the line of Isaac and Allah represented down through the line of Ishmael. And this religious war goes on, and this strife goes on, and will until the Lord once and for all stops it. Ishmael, the father of the Arabian people, it says he will be hard, or wild is what it said, and his hand will be against every man. And realizing that those that in the Islamic faith hold their roots back to Ishmael, do you see any parallel to what is going on today versus what we see in the Bible about Ishmael? It has never, ever completely been done away with. One day, the Lord will return and he will settle it up. One day, the Lord will return and he will put an end to it. But don't look for peace over there until he does that. Because God said to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. And that line of Ishmael to this very day, they don't bless that line of Isaac. They hate him. And their hand's against him, and then God's hand is against them. So this strife will go on and on. What it makes me think of is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's the only thing that will end it. Let's pray and just be dismissed to our prayer groups.